Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now tonight I'm going to be speaking out of Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 22 where the scripture says that the Lord Jesus is made a surety of a better testament or a better covenant. That's what we're going to look at tonight. I've entitled this message, A Prayer for the New Year. Now, this is the first service of 2009, and I'm saying this without hype. I hope I'm saying this without hype. I want this to be the best year of my life. And I want this to be the best year of our life. While I see no wisdom in New Year's resolutions, up to this point I've never kept one, I certainly see an appropriateness in this prayer for this coming year, and I pray that this will be the sincere heart's prayer of everybody in this room, this prayer of Jabez. Now look at verse 10, the last sentence. It says, and God granted him that which he requested. There is a God in heaven who has all power to bless, and he hears prayer and grants requests. Whatever it was that Jabez asked him, he granted that which he requested. The Lord gave to him what he asked for. Now, this ought to encourage every one of us to pray. The Lord, God of glory, grants requests. God, for Christ's sake, actually hears and answers prayer. Now, the only way you can understand, and the only way I can understand anything about prayer, is to have some understanding of the gospel. God saves me for one reason. It's not because I believe. It's not because I repent. It's not because of my doctrinal understanding. It's not because of anything in me. It's not because I'm a preacher. God saves me. Why? For Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord. He does this for Christ's sake. Now that gives me some comfort. God saves for Christ's sake. Not only does God save for Christ's sake, he hears the prayer of every single one of his people. For Christ's sake. I've got a high priest that takes my prayer, weak as it is, and he presents it to the Father, and the Father hears my prayer. Isn't that wonderful? God granted what he requested. Turn with me, hold your finger there, and turn with me to Luke 18. Verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart. Now, I'm in that group, men. I'm glad. Sometimes I love these real broad terms. I'm one of them. He doesn't just say that just believers, although believers, you know it's only a believer whose prayer is heard. But he says men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary.
And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Evidently this woman was driving him crazy. She just kept coming. She just kept coming. She just kept coming. Finally, all right, what is it you want? Now, our Lord gives us that encouragement in prayer. I want to be one of these people who are continually coming, don't you? No, you know, prayer is asking for the Lord to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Only He can do it. That's what prayer is. If I can take care of it, I don't need to pray about it. But continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them. I love what John Newton said, come my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He Himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For His grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Now everybody here ought to be encouraged by this. God granted him what he requested. The living God hears and answers prayer. Now, who was this man Jabez? Let's go back to our text in 1 Chronicles chapter 24. Well, we know this. The scripture describes him as being more honorable than his brethren. And if God says he's more honorable, he's more honorable. Now, not more intelligent, not better looking, not more gifted, but more honorable. Now, what's this thing about being more honorable? Well, the Lord said, them that honor me will I honor. But he that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. So we know that this man, Jabez, was somebody who honored the Lord. That's where his honor came from. The Lord promised, them that honor me will I honor. I want to be somebody that honors the Lord, don't you? And we see how he honored the Lord in this prayer. Now look what he says. Verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez. Sorrowful. What a name. Would you like to have a name like that? What if my name was Sorrowful? I think, boy, you're sorry. Yeah, you are. I mean, that was his name. Some of the names of scriptures are so interesting. One in Hosea, one fellow's name was Not Loved. How would you like to have a name like that? Not Loved. Well, Jabez had a name like that. Sorrowful. Sorrowful. Jabez knew something about sorrow. And you know, the wise man said sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. And this is not talking about the sorrow of the world, but that godly sorrow that works repentance not to be repented of. The Bible still says, blessed are they that what? Mourn. For they shall be comforted. This has something to do with Jabez's sorrow over his sin. You know, sin's a sorrowful thing, isn't it? But anybody who knows something about the sorrow over sin also knows something about the grace of God and the blood of Christ that covers sin. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and he knew something about sorrow. If you would have asked this man, are you a sorry sinner? He would have said, yes. That's how he viewed himself. But look what he says to the Lord in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now this is what all of God's people do. They call upon the God of Israel. I love this verse of scripture. It's found in Romans 10:13, but it's quoted 12 or 14, 15 times in the scripture. Whosoever. I love that word. Whosoever. I'm one of them. If it says the elect shall call upon the name of the Lord, that would be true, but am I one of those? Well, sometimes I believe I am. Sometimes I know this. I'm a whosoever. So this is a good word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now This is what Jabez did. This is what all God's people do. They can be identified as people who call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever. Now, thank God for that word. Thank God for that word. You're one of those. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There's the important word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's the person behind the name. That's not just talking about some kind of religious formula. Some kind of abracadabra. You use Jesus' name and everything's good. No. This is calling upon the person behind the name. When I call upon His name, I'm calling upon Him who is sovereign to save me by an act of His will, to give commandment to save me. I'm calling upon Him who is just to save me by His justice. I'm calling upon Him who is gracious to save me by His grace. I'm calling upon Him who is all-powerful to save me by His powerful. I'm calling on His name. I'm calling on that one who is behind the name, the Lord God of Israel. The God of the Scriptures. The God of the Bible. That's the important name. It's not just using this as a formula, but knowing the person behind the name. I'm calling upon the God of Israel. I'm saying, Lord, help me. Whosoever shall call. That's what I'm doing right now. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, reveal Yourself to me. Lord, keep me. Lord, preserve me. Lord, do something for me. Don't leave me to myself. Lord, save me. That's a good prayer. Lord, save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. There's a sure word. Lord, You said in Your word, whosoever calls upon Your name shall be saved. Well, Lord, I'm calling. Save me. Look once again at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that Thou wouldst bless me indeed. My marginal reading says, if You will. If You will. Bless me indeed. Now this is the way everybody who truly comes to Christ comes. They don't come saying, Lord, I will that You do this. Lord, I've decided to let You bless me. Lord, I've decided to let You have mercy on me. Lord, I've decided to let You forgive me. You know, that's so offensive. That's ridiculous. I mean, the way people, religious people talk, it's just so contrary to the gospel. You don't come into God's presence saying, Lord, I'm going to let You do this, or Lord, I will that You do this. There's only one who can say to God, Father, I will. That they whom You've given me be with me. Where I am, only one can come into God's presence and say, I will that You do this. That's Him who is equal with God, because He is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But every sinner comes into God's presence like this, Lord, if You will. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper. And Luke's account tells us that this man was full of leprosy. And leprosy is the great scriptural type of sin. This man was full of sin. That's the most accurate description of this man. He was full of sin. And he comes, and what's he do? He worshiped. Now I want you to stop for just a moment. Let's forget about you for just a moment, if that's possible. Let's forget about me for just a moment. Is Jesus Christ worthy of worship without respect to you? If He doesn't save you, if He doesn't have mercy on you, if He let you go to hell, would He still be worthy of worship? Now that's how this leper came. He didn't know whether the Lord was going to heal him or not, but he knew who He was. And he comes and he worships. There's where we got to begin. Not with me and my needs. Him and who He is. He's to be worshiped.
He's to be bowed down to, whether he saves me or not. You believe that? This leper came to him, full of leprosy, full of sin, and he worshiped, saying, Lord. Now, this leper knew this much. He knew that Jesus Christ was the Lord, the absolute sovereign of the universe, the one in whose hands he was. He's the Lord. No man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, that doesn't just mean articulating it. That means really believing that he's Lord. Like the thief. You know, when the thief was hanging on the cross and he saw the Lord seemingly so helpless, nailed to a cross, everybody hating him. You know what that thief knew, though? He knew, this is the Lord. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of glory. And this leper knew that. He knew he was full of leprosy. And he knew that the Lord was the Lord of glory. And he worshipped him, saying, Lord. And look at the next word, verse 2. If thou wilt. He didn't come to him saying, Lord, I'm going to let you cleanse me. Lord, I've decided to accept you as my personal Savior. You know, that's the most ridiculous statement. He's the Savior, whether he's your personal Savior or not. He's the Savior. He's the only Lord. Lord, if thou wilt, it's all up to you. I'm in your hands. You can save me. You can pass me by. Whatever you do is right. But if you will, you can. You have all ability. You're all powerful. If you will, you can make me clean. That's what I need, to be clean. To be clean before you. It's all up to you. Lord, if you will, you can. You have all ability to make me clean. All you have to do is will it, and I'm clean. Now, that's the way Jabez came. Oh, that you would. Oh, if it be your will that you do this for me. Now, let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now, there are four things that Jabez requests. Now, he comes calling upon the God of Israel. He came to the only one who could do anything for him. He understood that. He understood the gospel. And he comes with the right attitude and the right demeanor, if you will. And that's the way we always come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, if you will, you can. We recognize his sovereign will. But look at these four things he requests in verse 10. He says, oh, if you will, oh, that you would bless me indeed. 2, oh, that you would enlarge my coast. 3, that your hand might be with me. And 4, that you'd keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. Now, here is the request of Jabez. And I have no question that this is an appropriate prayer for the new year for you and me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now notice that word indeed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Jabez tells us that he wants God's actual blessing. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Jabez realized that there are the things that the world would count a blessing that may not be a blessing indeed. For instance, the world wants more financial prosperity. The world wants more health. You know, you may have those things and be under the curse of God. I want what God considers his blessing, not his curse, but his blessing. You can have all this world considered desirable and enjoyable and be under God's curse. You tell me, who is under God's blessing? Lazarus, who had the dogs licking his sores? Or the rich man who fared sumptuously clothed in purple and fine linen? Which one had God's blessing? Lazarus did. I want to be blessed indeed. Not just what the world considers blessings. I want what God calls his blessing. Oh, that you'd bless me indeed. Now, I have no doubt when he said bless me indeed, What he first was talking about was God's spiritual blessings. God's spiritual blessings. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Hold your finger there in 1 Chronicles. Now here's God's blessing. You know, people talk about, oh, bless me, bless me. Well, let's see what God's blessing is. Verse 3. David said, or Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now there's the blessings he's speaking of, these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now here's the first one he mentions, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now the first blessing he mentioned is his election. You know what my response is to election? Oh, let me be one of them. Let me be one of those ones found in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, what if I'm not elect? Well, what if you are? What if you are? Lord, let me be counted in that number that you chose before time began to be saved. I tell you what, when people start arguing with election, they're skating on thin ice. Don't bite the hand. The only hope you got is that God chose you. Because if he didn't choose you, you'll go to hell. You'll reject him. What a blessing to be elected of God. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. There's sanctification. And without blame. There's justification. If I'm justified, that means I don't have any guilt. I'm without blame. Before him. In love having predestinated us. There's God's blessing. In love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, being God's adopted child, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. He hath made us. Do you get that language? He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Is that a blessing? To be accepted by God? To be received, to be embraced by God in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the revelation of himself, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. If you believe the gospel, God has revealed to you the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him, in whom we've also obtained an inheritance. Oh, what an inheritance we have, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, those are spiritual blessings. Let me show you another spiritual blessing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. I love this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 4. Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness. You get that word? The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered in the blood of Christ. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now there's a divine blessing. That's a blessedness I want. I want this blessing. I want my sin to be charged to Christ. I want his righteousness to be charged to me. What a blessing that is. And Jabez said, oh, that you'd bless me indeed. But we're physical creatures. And we ask for physical blessings, and we're taught to. We're taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I want the Lord to bless me in every way I can be blessed. Oh, bless me indeed. Bless me in my job, that I might be enabled to do whatever it is God's called me to do for his glory, for him to supernaturally enable me to do well for his glory, that he'll help me and rain his blessings upon me in whatever sphere I'm in. I want his blessing, don't you? I want him to bless me as a parent. I want him to bless me as a spouse. I want him to bless me as a father. I want him to bless me in my home life. You know, the Lord said to Abraham, I'll bless thee and thou shalt be a blessing. I want to be a blessing, don't you? I covet the Lord's blessing.
And with regard to everything we ask for, when we say, bless me, we say, if it be thy will. If it be thy will. I love the story of a woman who was dying. And some of her friends came up to her and they knew she was dying. And they said, well, what do you want? Do you want to live or do you want to die? Because this woman had the full assurance of salvation in Christ. And her friend said, "What do you want to live or do you want to die?" And she said, well, whatever the Lord's will is, that's what I want. And the person said, well, I know that, but if you had what you wanted, what would you get? And she said, well, I'll ask the Lord what he wants, and that's what I want. Whatever the Lord's will is, thy will be done. Whatever that is. But Lord, bless me. Oh, bless me indeed. Can you pray that? Oh, Lord, if it be your will, bless me. Bless me indeed. Now, here's the second thing that he asked for in our text. He said, oh, Lord, if you will, enlarge my coasts. Now, upon the surface, that means give me more land. Give me more property. Give me more influence and so on. And I'm sure that was involved in his prayer. But much more than this. Enlarge my coast. Now, what are coasts? Well, the coast is where the sea comes and stops. It's a boundary. It can go so far and go no further. A borderline. I've got this land that I can go this far, and I'm not allowed to go past that because it's another country. It's a border. It's actually a coast is a limitation. It's a boundary. And this is the way I'm looking at this passage of Scripture. I realize he had involved, give me more land or give me a bigger yard or whatever, but what he means more than anything else is enlarge my boundaries, my limitations, my coastline. Now, I've got some boundaries. I've got some limitations that I can't get past no matter what I do. It's the limitations of my sinful, evil nature. I've got limitations. You know, our Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come to me. He lacks the ability. He can't get past his limitations. No man can come to me. And that's the simplest act of spiritual life, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord said, no man can come to me. He lacks the ability to come to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, I've got these limitations. By nature, I can't believe. The idea of free will is ludicrous. It's ridiculous. It's not taught in the Scripture. Your will is bound by your nature. I can't believe. I can't love. I can't repent. These are beyond my ability. And I say, Lord, enlarge my coasts. Enable me to believe. The only way I'm going to believe is if you enable me to believe. Give me faith. Enable me to believe. Lord, give me... You come to Christ for faith. You know, I don't come to Christ with my faith. I come to Him for faith. Give me faith. I can't come up with the faith. Give me repentance. Give me love. Whatever it is you require, give it to me. Expand my borders. Enlarge my borders. Enlarge my coasts. Enlarge my love to you and my love to others. Enlarge my love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Enlarge my ability to forgive. And enlarge my ability to forget. Enlarge me to esteem others as better than myself. Enlarge me to rejoice in what you do for and in others. Enlarge my submission. Enlarge my humility. Enlarge my meekness. Enlarge my contentment. Enlarge my faithfulness. Enlarge my zeal. Enlarge me as a servant. Enlarge me as a friend. Enlarge my capacity to not be judgmental.
Enlarge my capacity to be merciful. Enlarge me as a spouse. Enlarge me as a parent. Enlarge my thoughtfulness. Enlarge my generosity. Enlarge my coasts. I've got such narrow coasts. And the only way they're going to be enlarged is if the Lord enlarges it. And so I'm praying, Lord, enlarge my coasts. I've got these limitations. I've got these boundaries. I hate them. And the only way I can go beyond these limitations is if you're pleased to enlarge these boundaries for me. So this is our prayer. Lord, enlarge my coasts. Don't you want the Lord to enlarge your coasts? And then he says, thirdly in our text, oh, that you'd bless me indeed. Oh, that you'd enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me. Now here he is asking for the Lord's presence. Oh, that your hand might be with me. The light of your countenance. Now to a believer, this is so. I know this is so. To a believer, heaven would be hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. And to a believer, hell would be heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your hand be with me. I can't even express how I need his presence. I tell you what, his presence was everything. When he stood for me before the foundation of the world as my surety, and agreed to be my Savior when the Father gave him to me, his presence was everything. His presence on the cross, that's everything in my salvation when he put away my sin. His presence is my great intercessor, even right now, representing me before the Father. His presence is my salvation. I tell you what I'm really going to understand this is on Judgment Day. How I'm going to need his presence on Judgment Day when I'm called to stand before God. Oh, let your presence be with me. To the believer, Christ's presence is everything. I was sitting in our living room today, and it was this week. And most of you know, we've got a dog named Kiwi, a little black poodle. And those poodles, their caregiver is the one who's their master. A dog can only have one master. Can't have two. Only has one. And Lynn is Kiwi's master. She follows Lynn wherever she goes. When whatever room she's in, she follows her. She's always just following her. And one time this week, Lynn walked out the door to go over to her dad's house across the street. And I watched Kiwi get up on the chair and just look out the window and watch Lynn. And she went in the house and she didn't move. She waited for her to come back out. And I thought, man, that dog's life is Lynn. That's it. All she cares about is Lynn. And I thought, there's where I want to be. Wouldn't you be blessed to have that? Christ is my life. That's it. I don't have any other life aside from that. I was thinking of that story Charles Pennington tells. He was out hunting. And he came across a dog out in the woods. And it was in a trap. Had its leg caught in a trap. And he thought, well, I'll try to set that dog free. And he got close to that dog to try to open up the trap to let its leg out. The dog started trying to bite him. I mean, it was scared. It was wounded. And he said, so I found a forked stick. And I took that thing down and held that dog's neck down so it couldn't bite me. I just held it down forcefully. It's a good-sized dog. And opened up that trap and let it go. And then got back to where the dog couldn't get to me. He said, I watched it limp off. And I commenced hunting. And all of a sudden, I saw behind me that dog following me. He said, you know what? That dog followed me to the day it died. Now that is what I want to be. Lord, let your presence be with me so that I might follow thee all the way to the end. Now here's the fourth request in our text. Oh, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me, that it might not vex me. Now, in this request, it presupposes some understanding of the fact Jabez is saying, I'm evil. I'm evil. You know, when the Lord said to his disciples, he said this to his disciples. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He said this to his disciples. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, you reckon any of them said, what's he talking to us like that for? No, if the Lord says, if you then being evil, you know exactly what he's saying, don't you? Now, this request presupposes some understanding of this thing of being evil. Lord, I'm so evil that if I'm tempted, I will fall. I can't stand before temptation. And here's the question, here's the request I've got. Don't even let me be tempted. Keep me from evil. Put a hedge about me because I know I'll fail if I'm tested. I know it. I'll fall every time. I can't stand before it. Put a hedge about me. Keep me from evil. Now, isn't that what our Lord taught us to pray? Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. We can't stand before it. And so here's, I know enough about myself to know this. The only thing that's going to prevent me from doing whatever it is can be done is for him to keep me, to put a hedge around me, and to keep me from evil. Now, is this a prayer, a good prayer for the new year? Oh, Lord, bless me indeed. And Lord, enlarge my coasts. And Lord, let your hand be with me. May I have your presence. And Lord, keep me from evil. That's not only a prayer for the new year, that's a prayer for every day. May God enable us to pray this prayer. Now we're going to have a baptism now. Jim and Pam Murphy are going to confess Christ in believer's baptism. They've been here about a year and a half now, and I've known them for several years, but I was just so thrilled when they said they wanted